said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe of him off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lot. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. Amen. We often pray that God would crown each new year with his blessing. The greatest of blessing that you can receive and I can receive is to know Jesus Christ. And the central and the heart of the message of Christianity and the way of salvation is found through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, this day we are to consider from chapter 27 of Matthew and specifically verse 29. Of Christ's crown of thorns. The Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with thorns. Now friends, there are many horrible and horrific scenes in the history of the world. There are some images that you have seen that they don't go away. You cannot wipe it from your mind. Yet there is nothing compared to this scene in Matthew 27. Christ, the sinless Son of God, He is so different to any one of us in the sense that He never sinned. All of us have sinned, but He never sinned. Christ, the Son of God, was being tried. He is the judge and He is being tried by men. He's being tried because of the Jewish leaders wanted Him dead. They wanted, the scripture says, to destroy Him. This is a strong language, isn't it? They wanted Him dead. And here the third phase of the Jewish trial was coming to a close. The Lord Jesus Christ had stood before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin, that Jewish council of 70, during the middle of the night, and was before them once more in the morning, so that they could ratify, they could accept and agree to what they did legally during, or I should say illegally, because everything that was happened, it shouldn't have happened. All of it was pushed through illegally during the night. Now, in order to get rid of Jesus Christ, in order to do what they wanted, to destroy him, the Jewish leaders needed to get the Roman soldiers, the Roman authorities, I should say, involved in the matter. You see, under the Roman occupation, the Jews did not have the right to execute. They did not have the right to put someone to death. So, around 5 a.m., the Lord Jesus Christ was led to Pilate's judgment hall, probably located in the fortress of Antonia. You can go and visit it even today. It is north of the temple. The Jews desperately wanted the Savior's blood, and nothing that Pilate did or said could change that. And so Pilate is a weak man. He is in a panic. He didn't want to violate justice, but he also didn't want to start a riot. And so he says, he asked this question, the question of all the ages, the question that we ought to ask ourselves in verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You ask yourself that question. It is always put in that sense, that the reader, the hearer of the word of God must ask this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are we doing with Jesus Christ? And back came the response. Let him be crucified. Can you see, my friends, now the Savior, as they scourged him? They took him out and they scourged him. This was not the Jewish scourging of 39 stripes. No. Rather, it was known as the Roman halfway death. Most people would die under this kind of scourging of the Roman soldiers. It was administered in such a cruel way that I won't describe. But you can read about it, what they did. And so, while the flesh is hanging and the bones are now visible, the Lord Jesus Christ is taken to be crucified. And just before then, before he is given his cross, they put a robe on him. And then they plait a crown made of thorns, and they press it upon his head, and they mock him and ridicule him. What wickedness there is in the heart of man to do such a thing. You would think, you would not do that, you would say. And yet, don't we have children who bully each other? Don't we have little children, young ones, do very unkind things, say very unkind things? Weren't you one of those children yourself? Haven't you done certain things? Certainly, I have got three fingers pointing at me, and I have done wicked things that I am ashamed of, unmentionable things. It shows to us what these men did. It's what man can do, even to the Son of God, even to the perfect man, Jesus Christ. They crucified him. They plotted, and they took the time. They thought, what are we going to do to mock him? How will we ridicule him? And one of them said, I know what I will do. He says he's a king. I will plait a crown of thorns. They went through the thinking process. They went through sitting down and actually plait a crown of thorns. Have you ever plaited a crown of thorns? Well, you have, some of you plaited a crown of daisies. It takes time. But imagine plaiting a crown of thorns. You have to take your time. You have to be careful. And then they press that upon Jesus' head. Let's think about this in the time that we have, friends. What does this crown of Jesus Christ means? This crown of thorns means, and the spiritual application, that's what you need. The spiritual application of it, what does that mean to me? Ask yourself that as you think through the words here. It says in verse 29, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Do you see this? How cruelly was the Lord Jesus Christ handled by the soldiers? What need was there? On top of crucifying him, on top of dressing him up in this with the mocking robe, what need was there? On top of putting him on a cross and nailing his hands and feet against, like an insect against a tree, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, what need was there for this? Was it not enough that he was being nailed? Was it not enough that his end was near? How much cruelty there is in our hearts, in the hearts of these people. Is there any difference between us and them? They were just normal people. Soldiers, yes, but they had the same blood running through their veins. They had the same thoughts, the same things, experiences that we have today. Think about this. Think about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his agony, the agony of the Savior. They planted a crown of thorns and pressed it upon his head. They braided long vines of thorns together to form a crown. The Roman soldiers had to weave this common thorn plant very carefully, because if you are careless about it, you yourself will be wounded. You yourself will be pierced. And so it had to be done very carefully. And then they had to press it upon Jesus' head so it would not be moved. The thorns had to go in through his skull. It's that very fact of weaving it and making it. It was a risky business. It wasn't a work it wasn't a pleasurable work. You can see those cruel soldiers cutting some plant and doing all of that. Why? Why would a person think even to do such a thing? To weave something to hurt Jesus Christ. You've had your fingers pricked. You know how painful that is? You've tried to reach a rose, to cut a rose, and you have cut yourself instead. And imagine, every time you prick yourself with something, think in future about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he suffered that. Why? Why did he come? The scripture says he came so that we might be saved. For our salvation, he suffered these things. They weaved a crown of thorns. You know, for each one of us, we can weave something. Weave all kinds of things to mock or reject or to put to one side the claims of Christianity and the claims of Christ. And we may say, well, I have this excuse. I will not accept Christianity because of what I see in Christians and what I see in the preachers and so on. That's something. That is something to push Jesus Christ away. Well, don't do that. Don't go through all that thinking process to do that. Someone might say, well, this excuse that could be weaved in our minds. Satan can put it in our minds and whisper it in our ears. And Satan can say to you, you'll have to give up your pleasures if you're going to trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe that is what the devil is weaving in your own minds. Maybe he's saying to procrastinate, to put it to one side for the moment. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I know these things to be right. I know the Bible is true. I know this, what I am hearing about Jesus Christ is true. I know my own heart. And Satan says yet to you, well, you can trust in Jesus Christ. You can turn to him later on. Not today, but later. Now, you can't read these words and not take sides. Which side are we with? Are we with Christ, or are we with those who simply sit there and watch him? Sit there and put this crown on his head. But then think about something else. So there's this physical aspect of it. But there is a personal abuse that the Lord Jesus Christ also suffered. Not just the agony of it, but this abuse of it. It says this, and then they had plaited a crown of thorns. They put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. You see, this crown of thorns represents a mock coronation. The word had gotten around the soldiers and that the Lord Jesus Christ had claimed to be king, and that his followers had been worshipping him and worshipping him as a king, revered him as a king. And they thought, well, oh, he is a king, is he? If he is a king, he will have to have a crown, he will have to have a robe, he will have to have a reed in his hand. So they get all of these things arranged, and they bow before him, and while he's suffering, they're abusing him, mocking him, laughing at him. Why would they do that? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do to them or against them? It is like many times that we explain the gospel to someone, they mock and laugh. Well, these things can't be true. It's too good to be true. Or you talk to someone on the streets, as we do from time to time, and you hear the laughter and the mocking of folks. Why is that? What did Jesus Christ do to them? But think about it. If you are a Christian here this morning, such were some of you. There was a time that you also laughed. There was a time I mocked and I ridiculed and I thought all this religious nonsense is too extreme to think like that. And too extreme to think that there is one Savior. No, there are many saviors and we can be our own saviors and there are many roads to heaven. That's what I used to think and that's what I used to mock Christians and even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What blasphemy! And yet, such were some of you, such was I. And so there is nothing different with us. The soldiers mocked him. It's an awful scene. These places that you read of here in this passage, you can go and visit it yourself. This Fort Antonia, the Gabbatha, the pavement that is described here. You can see the markings of, even now, of the soldiers who drew pictures of people that they ridiculed and played with. They oftentimes would ridicule people who couldn't think clearly, and mentally retarded children and prisoners were being mocked on these floors. They would dress them in certain ways and they would mock him. And that is what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. They played with him as a king. They played this game with the Lord Jesus and they showed their contempt for him. So here it is, the crown is made. It is placed. The Lord Jesus Christ is abused. The Lord Jesus Christ is mocked. Why? Because he spoke the truth. He spoke about the way of salvation. And there is a message in the crown of the Lord Jesus. That's the second thing I want you to notice. There's a message in the crown of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the question has been asked again and again. Why do people do such things? Well, in this message, there is a message. The very fact that they used a thorny crown. They could have used some other kind of crown. They could have made something else to put on his head. But why to use thorns? You see, this is pointing us to another place. The thorns are pointing us to a different time. You see, where did thorns come from? Do you know that? Where did thorns come from? Oh, to live in a world without thorns and thistles. But it happened in the garden. It happened when sin entered into the world. So the Bible speaks of the fact that then thorns and thistles came about as well after man fell into sin. You see, here it's describing to us the problem that you and I have, the problem of mankind. You see, the problem that we have of these crown of thorns is, it's pointing to our sinfulness. You see, sin defiles, sin degrades, sin destroys, sin puts to death, sin damns the soul. Now think, before the creation, sin entered. Before it, sin entered the creation. Can you imagine a world where there was no crimes, no pain, no suffering, no death? Can you imagine a place where there was no war, only peace, a place where heaven on earth, that was Eden before Adam fell into sin. There was not one thorn on one bush in Eden's garden. Not one thorn to be found anywhere. Thorns were not with creation in its beginning. But think, when sin entered into the world, you see, by man's disobedience, by Adam and Eve's disobedience, they disobeyed God and they tumbled to his fallen condition. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's why we are all dying. Why is that? Why? And we say, I don't want to die. But it's because we are all sinners. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God pronounced judgment upon them. And you can read that. If you have started reading your Bible again at the commencement of this year, you would have read this passage in Genesis 3 and verses 17 and 18. You read this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou of it all the days, eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. We have carried creation along with us in sin. And do you see that one of the results of sin in the world is thorns? And so every time you feel the prick of a thorn in your hand, it's a sermon, it's a message to you. This should not have happened. This thorn is there because of our sinfulness. And God reminds us. And maybe some are thinking like Pilate right now. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, this has nothing to do with me. I was not in the garden. I did not commit the first terrible sin. I live a good life. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. What have I done? What have I to do with any of these things? But the fact is that you have everything to do with it. I have everything to do with it. The reality is that you and I are the offsprings of Adam, the first sinner. And you yourself are a sinner. I am a sinner. And all of our children after us. I hope you realize that. I'm not talking here, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm here speaking the truth of the scriptures. And until we recognize that, we will not realize why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Why we need this Savior who died upon the cross for us. You have to identify the problem. And here, as well, the thorns, yes, they tell us of the problem that we have, but also they tell us of the provision of God. God provides a Savior. God has provided Himself a sacrificial lamb for us. It is that lamb that was caught in the thicket, is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was in this way being placed upon His head, this thorny crown, humiliated for us. The Son of God, who has the glory of heaven, comes down to earth and is in this way treated by man. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is fundamental to your thinking of Christianity. For when Christ died on the cross, He was made a curse for sinners like you and me. He was made a curse for us. The Apostle Paul says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was hanging upon that cross, which was made from a tree. He was cursed instead of us. Do you see that? This is part of the cursing of Jesus Christ. Why should He be cursed? Because dying in my stead. He was dying in our place. When that crown of thorns was crushed down on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that He was bearing our curse. It is God's provision. It's the only way that sin can be dealt with. You have to come to the cross then. It is at the cross when the crown of thorns was upon the brow of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed at His cross, shed for our sins. And you say, well, you're saying these things, but my sins are so great. You don't know anything about my life. Well, my friends, the blood of Jesus Christ is greater. You might say, well, my sin is so deep, I don't know what to do about it. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ is deeper. You say, well, my sin is so far away, the things that I've done. Well, Jesus Christ died when we were ungodly, when we were sinners. My sin, you say, is so deeply stained. It's stained everything. It's marked my life. I'm so ashamed. The scripture says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It removes the stain of sin. That's the good news of the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, we read in 1 John 1, cleanseth us from all sin. Are the thorns of your sin pricking you? Do you know something about the pain, the heartache, the poison of sin? And you've tried to cleanse it. You've tried to run away from all kinds of the sad things in your life and fix things. How has that helped you? Where are you now in your life? Well, my friends, I tell you that the thorns of your sin can be removed if you come to Jesus Christ. Come to the cross. And finally, we have the crown of glory. The crown of glory. We read in John chapter 19, the gospel according to John chapter 19 and verse 5, that Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns. And then Pilate says to everyone, he says, behold the man. He comes as king and he comes with this crown of thorns. And Pilate, he says, behold the man. He is the one. Oh, what a man he was and is. Not just an ordinary man was this Christ. He is God who comes in the flesh. He was the perfect man. He was a man who was the express image, the scripture says, of the Father's person. The brightness of the Father's glory. But not only a man that Pilate saw or the Jews saw. They said, behold your king. He's a man who is king. Have you ever noticed that there are some people who are so attractive that whatever they wear looks good on them. It looks great on them. The same thing is true about this crown of thorns. The Christian. Oh yes, it caused much pain and sorrow for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Christian, we say, that is the crown of our glory. That Jesus Christ suffered in my place. That's why the cross of Jesus Christ is our glory too. And the Apostle Paul, he says, we are not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of his gospel. But it is our glory. This is what the Christian glory is in. Because on that cross, through all of these pains of the Savior, our sins are done away with and cancelled. Don't you want that? Don't you want that burden that you're carrying today? And it is growing and growing and you don't know what to do with it, to be done away with. Well, go to this crucified and crowned Jesus Christ. He one day does rule, but one day visibly he rules universally in this world. He is truly king. That's who Christ is. There are people who try to fix the problem of the environment in our day, and they want to make this earth an Eden again. My friends, you can't do that. You can't fix the environment by simply getting rid of your carbon footprints and such things. You can't do that. It's Jesus Christ who will come, and he will renew all things. And he rules over all things. You see, my friends, we need the Savior. The scripture says Jesus shall reign. The scripture speaks of him that when he comes with many crowns upon his head in Revelation 19. He comes to rule personally. There are those people who said, we will not have, Jesus Christ is not our king. We will not have this man to rule over us, they said. But here is the man who was crowned with thorns. How will that apply to you personally this morning? That is the thing that makes the change, makes the difference this year in your life. What will you do with Jesus Christ? He was crowned like this, he was crucified like this, and was treated like this. What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Have you seen what I have been saying? Have you understood about your need of the Savior? Have you understood that all these sad things and sinful things that you and I see in this world, they have one answer, and it is found in Jesus Christ only? My friends, here it seems that Jesus Christ is on trial. But actually it is mankind who is on trial. It is us who are on trial. What am I going to do with him? That's the challenge, isn't it? That was the challenge when about 20 years ago then I came to realize I have to make up my mind. I can't continue to say, well, I respect Jesus Christ. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He's even a good prophet. He said a lot of good things. But then not receive him, not accept him, not trust in him as the only Savior of sinners, and not appreciate that I am a sinner. I am no different to these Roman soldiers. I am no different to these men who said, crucify him, crucify him. Friends, that is what sinners would shout. That is what our hearts would shout. They would say, these things are too extreme. And we might mock the preacher, but actually, it is Jesus Christ that is being mocked. It's not my words, it's Jesus Christ's words here. And so, my friends, let us turn to the Savior. Oh, what shall we do then? What shall we do? Receive the Lord Jesus. These men looked at him. They watched him there. But there were those who were, the scripture says, who were watching all of these things from a distance. There were those who were also believing, who were following. There are different kinds of watching. So if you have heard this message today and you have thought, well, that is interesting about the crown of Jesus Christ. But don't just watch, but receive and trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ too. And then it is that throughout this year, you will then say, I cannot get away from him. He's all beautiful. He who did not have to suffer like this, he could have stayed in his heaven and cursed this world and condemned this world. Yet for my sake, he was condemned and he was cursed, and we must then trust in him. Well, may the Lord bless these things to each one of us. Let us pray.